Yorkshire.
And it's time for me to welcome my official guests to the programme, two great walkers, Jenny Irwin and Alan Parks. We'll be talking about rambling. It's something I do rather well without using my legs. I just vocally ramble.
FM, online, on DAB. This is BBC Radio Cambridgeshire.
Good morning. I'm Christopher South, and as I said, I have two great guests in the studio, Jenny Irwin and Alan Parks. I'm not sure whether they're friends or not, because Jenny represents the Cambridge Rambling Club, and Alan represents the Cambridge branch of the Ramblers Association. Do you like one another? Jenny, how do you get on with
morning,
this chat?
Christopher. Morning, lovely to be here, and thanks for inviting us in. Alan and I know each other extremely well, and we often walk together on a Wednesday in quite a large group.
Is it all a question of history, the fact that... See, I've been knocking around Cambridge for well over half a century, and I've never heard of the Cambridge Rambling Club, as distinct from the Ramblers Association. How old are you? I don't mean you, I mean the club.
Well, I'm not quite as old as the club, but the club is actually 90 years old, and we've just celebrated our anniversary, which is amazing.
So they're older than you, Alan, aren't they?
Yes, they are. The Ramblers Association is now called Ramblers, but the Ramblers Association was formed in 1935 on the 1st of January. 6 months later, I was born.
Ah, so you're almost as old as...
Almost as old as the Ramblers Association.
At that time, the 30s, there was tremendous popular enthusiasm for getting out into the fresh air and the countryside. Even the publishing industry supported it, and there were various books on how to spot interesting things in the countryside. And my father, my late father, was part of it, and sometimes when he was walking around the house, he would sing a song that he used to sing when he was a young man in the 30s.
Do you know the song? Can you sing it?
All together now. I'm happy when I'm hiking along the King's Highway. King's Highway dates it.
Yes, indeed.
I'm happy when I'm hiking 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 miles a day. That was
excellent.
Sort of a musical song at the time.
And he would be going up and down the stairs at the time, would he?
Oh, yes, he would, or just striding around the garden.
Excellent.
Yes. And my parents come from that time. You don't. You were sort of born... you were only conscious of it much later, I take it, Alan.
Absolutely. The signature song nowadays might be I'm a Rambler from Manchester way.
Is that a real folk song or one of those?
I think it probably came from Mike Harding or something like that. Yes.
Yeah. You can't give us a verse of I'm a Rambler, can you?
I can't help you with
that. I'm a rambler.
Yes. I'm a wage slave on Monday, but I am a free man on Sunday.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Those early days of rambling, walking freely in the countryside, were in fact quite bitter and contentious because landowners opposed you, didn't they?
They did indeed, and it was more or less out of that contentious time that the Ramblers emerged. Round about then, say 1931, there was a federation of the National Council of Ramblers, and they were trying to represent the interests of ramblers who felt they needed a voice.
It was generally politically left-wing, wasn't it? It
very much so. Many people will have heard of the mass trespass on...
Barbara Castle took part in them,
I believe. Did she really?
The late minister.
Yes. Brilliant. That was on Kinder Scout.
When was that, Alan?
That was about 1932 or something like that. And people walked over the Grouseland, the Kinder Scout, and the then Duke of Devonshire set his gamekeepers on them.
Did he really?
He did. And there were scuffles. And six of those protesters were prosecuted and spent up to 6 months in jail.
So on a small scale, they're equivalent to the Tolpol martyrs in terms of justice.
They gave us our martyrdom, but they were not part of the National Council of Ramblers.
Right.
They were part of the British Workers' Sports Federation.
Ah.
And that was a communist-inspired organisation. So maybe that's where the left-wing consciousness
comes from. Sorry to interrupt, Alan, but what happened during the war? Did the group carry on?
I'm sure it trucked on, because the mass trespass was probably a catalyst which drove things along, and the National Council of Ramblers Federations changed themselves to the Ramblers Association, which I've just talked about, formed in 1935.
But you're in Cambridge, of course. It's such a civilised city. I'm sure you didn't start sort of politically contentiously, did you? You didn't battle local in the early
days. As far as I know, we didn't have a battle. Just a few people, a few people met in a cafe and decided they'd like to set up a walking group because there seemed to be a demand.
Look, I've got two questions for you two before we hear a tune. No, I'll ask you after the tune. I'll give you notice of the questions.
All right.
One is, how did you get here? And if you came by car, you lose quite... Don't tell me now. You lose points. And the other one is, why do you need to walk in company? You're listening to The Great Outdoors with me, Christopher South. The first part of the programme is devoted to the great outdoors, not, as we often are, from the farming point of view, but from the point of view of anybody who's got legs to walk. Or, although I dare say, some ramblers get along with wheelchairs and things. My guests are Jenny Irwin and Alan Parks, both of them associated with rambling in Cambridgeshire. Some paths are accessible to people who haven't got good legs, are they?
I would like to say there's an excellent path at Wickham Fen. I used to take my mother there in a wheelchair, and she was able to get into really wild areas.
And there was a boardwalk as well,
along the
wasn't
boardwalk.
There? Yeah, I can remember walking on quite a long boardwalk at Wickham Fen.
It's very good, and they have extended it fairly recently.
So there's no excuse for walking. Right, let's get down to those two questions. How did you two, advocates of walking, get here today? Alan first.
First? Chris, I came by car.
Ah!
I've lost points, I know that, but the car journey took half an hour or so. How long would it have taken me to walk?
How far away from Cambridge do you live?
I think we're about from the centre of Cambridge, 15 miles or something like that.
Oh, you could imagine that.
South, isn't it? So that's quite a long way.
Yes. But there we are. We often walk, occasionally we walk, 15 miles a day in Jenny's walking club. So I can cope with that.
Well, Jenny, how did you get here?
I'm afraid I also came by car. But
well,
I
so
would
did
like
I, but I'm not hypocritical because I don't claim to be a rambler.
I would like to say I would prefer there to be more buses, especially on a Sunday. There aren't any buses, so I couldn't even walk and use the bus. And unfortunately, cycling, I'm very wobbly on a bicycle.
Do you know, I read the programmes in the local papers of Ramblers, and quite often you resort to cars to get to the point from which you're all going to walk, don't you?
We do resort to cars, but it's often if we go for a walk that lasts the whole day.
Yeah, well, it's perfectly sensible, because if you're in a town, you don't want to waste time toddling around the town. You want to get out into space, don't you?
And, of course, where possible, we share cars, so you have four or five people in a car. And they will contribute to the cost of the petrol.
Oh, that's good. And back to the business of the programme, which is to talk about walking. My guests are Jenny Irwin from the Cambridge Rambling Club, which is 90-something years old. How many?
90 years, exactly.
90 years old. So that it's older than the Ramblers Association, which is now simply called the Ramblers, and they are represented by Alan Parks, who is part of the Cambridge branch of the Ramblers. Why do you go round in gangs, Jenny? I like Ramblers. I have nothing against them. But sometimes I am walking alone with my dog, if that isn't a contrary thing to say.
Yes.
And I meet maybe 10 or more, 15, even 20 Ramblers on a public footpath. And they're all talking at the tops of their voices.
Well, they're often excited by the view, of course, and by meeting each other.
But they scare off all the wildlife. Why do you go around in gangs?
I wouldn't say gangs, I would say groups, and sometimes we're in quite small groups. But as for why we seek out company, can I go back to why I started rambling, which was about 15 years ago?
When you lost your husband.
I lost my husband,
actually. Whom I knew and was associated with, yes.
I'm pleased you knew him.
He was a great man.
He was a good man. But actually it's 30 years ago since he died, leaving me with two young children to bring up, who were teenagers. And of course, when they're teenagers, you're dashing in all directions, taking them to their scouts and their music lessons, and you're very, very focused on bringing them up. I did manage a short walk every now and then, but you're very focused on bringing them up. Then they both leave for university, one after the other.
And you're deserted.
All their friends depart to different parts of the UK. And no longer do you have their boots in the hall and their dirty cups.
Difficult time.
Suddenly it goes quiet. It's very quiet on a Sunday. You're looking around. You perhaps have let your friends go because you've been so focused on bringing teenagers going in all directions.
You set out the predicament so clearly, and I bet it echoes a lot of other
people. It was so quiet, and that's when I joined a rambling group on a Sunday, going with the B walk, which was a manageable walk.
B walk meaning it was an A walk and a B walk.
An A walk is brisker, B walk is slightly slower, slightly less distance. There's also a C walk for slower walkers.
But Jenny, I sometimes go on a cruising holiday on a boat.
Yes.
And my wife and I, not because we're miserable people, always ask for a table for two, because we're afraid of being lumbered with somebody at a permanently throughout the trip.
I can understand that.
We like to pick our friends. Now, doesn't it happen when you're rambling in a group that somebody comes along with you, you really can't stand them, they irritate you, but you're lumbered with them?
Yes, but isn't that a good lesson for life?
Oh, come on, that's too good to be true.
I'm sorry, but that's probably why I was chosen to be the president of the Rambling Club, because I like all sorts of people and I'm challenged by slightly awkward people, and it gives you an insight into what makes people
I'm
tick.
I'm with you there, because I do prefer naughty people to good people. You know, they're better company.
Yes, and why do they behave as they do?
Yes,
think
exactly.
As
they are interesting. Saints are boring.
Yes, yeah. I agree, saints can be boring. But, of course, when you're in a walk, you can quite easily walk on your own. People will pick up the vibes from you. If you want to walk on your own, they'll leave you alone. You can perhaps walk at the front, and it's as if you're on your own. You just got a few people behind you, maybe. Or you can walk at the back quietly, and people will leave you alone. So you can be alone. But, of course, as a woman,
structure.
I can go to really remote areas that I never would have thought of
now,
going
to. Now,
this
is a question. I'll come to you, Alan, in a moment. Be patient, but... I hear that quite a lot of women who are on their own for one reason or another in life don't long to walk in the countryside, but daren't because they feel vulnerable.
Now, some of us, our ramblers, do. And when we do recces, we can go out and sort out a footpath, and then later on we'll lead the rest of the group there. But we do usually go with somebody else. They certainly help with the map reading. And also, we don't always feel relaxed in a remote area. For example, Kwai Fen is a fabulous area. And, you know, you can walk just at the edge on your own. But if you're going to be striking out towards Horningsey or Waterbeach,
I agree with you on that. I'm persuaded. But I used to live briefly. I lived at Horningsey, and I used to walk on the fen towards the bridge at Kwai. On the River Kwai.
That's a very nice walk.
I disagree with you.
Well, did you just walk down the river?
I didn't know where there was a path going off. So if you got your back to Horningsey, it goes off to the right. Along across the fen, you could see where you're going throughout the walk into the distance, and then all you could do was turn around and come back on. That's the trouble with
fen. Well, if you
could
come with me, I'll use my orange map, or I'll show you on the map. You can make a really interesting circular walk, stopping at Anglesey Abbey for maybe a cup of tea or a bowl of soup.
Oh.
And then there's some really wooded areas on the fen which you might not discover without a map.
Absolutely.
Or come with a rambling club. Come on a Thursday evening walk.
Would they have
six
me?
Of course. We'd love to have you.
I'm very disruptive and grumpy.
Well, that would be a challenge for us, and it's stimulating.
Alan.
Yes, Chris.
Why do you go around... I won't use the word gang again. Why do you go around in groups?
Chris, I joined the Ramblers because of the people.
Let me explain that to you. When I first came to Cambridgeshire with my wife and family, I bought an Ordnance Survey map of the area where we'd settled into our new house. Mm-hmm. And it was crisscrossed with a beautiful network of paths, dotted red lines on the Ordnance Survey map. Those are the public rights of way. But when one went outside, you couldn't find them. Some were ploughed out, some were blocked, some were overgrown.
Mm-hmm. How long ago is this?
That was in 1982.
Right.
And the path network was in a bad state. Mm-hmm. But then I heard that a working group of ramblers was coming to our village, and we saw them clearing the overgrowth, putting up waymarks, explaining to people where they could go. They were wonderful people.
The landowners have responded. If there is an ordained, truly public footpath across their land, aren't landowners obliged to keep it open?
They are required to maintain the path that goes across the field. That's a crossfield path. The path that goes along the hedge is called a headland path. The landowner must do the crossfield path, and the local authority must do the headland path.
Oh, that's interesting. So if brambles grow out of the hedge and cross the path, then the local authority's job.
It is the job, yes.
And yet, I mean, they're all so hard and busy that surely they don't do that.
That's it. And that's where the ramblers can come in. Amongst that group that came to our village were the footpath secretaries of the Ramblers group. That was Dr. Roger Morton and his wife Janet. Remember those names, Janet and Roger, because they are footpath heroes. They had worked tirelessly over decades and made a huge difference to the surface of Cambridge. And it's wonderful.
Are they still around?
They are still around. Roger now can't walk so well. He's had a stroke, and Janet is very hard of hearing. But decades later, they are still working very effectively as footpath secretaries.
Now, that's interesting, because they are the sort of people I most admire who don't sit around saying somebody should do something. They got up and did it.
Absolutely.
They are determined.
They're
very determined, and they do manage to.
They must make enemies.
They're clever people.
That's possible.
It's possible, but they're such lovely people that you will always forgive them. But I've never found them disruptive. They were professional people. They are clever, and they did something quite special on behalf of the footpath network vis-a-vis the Cambridgeshire County Council. I'd like to tell you about that. Would you do it now? Or?
You go right ahead.
Right. When in those early days, prior to when I met them, they were sending in reports to Cambridgeshire County Council telling them about problems with footpaths, and they'd be the problems I've just spoken about, paths ploughed out, etc. They didn't get much of a response, and they kept reporting this.
But it was the statutory responsibility
indeed,
of the county.
But the Highways Department didn't respond effectively to their reports.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, Janet and Roger took the matter to the Ombudsman on behalf of the Ramblers Association. They've always got the backing of the Cambridge Committee to do what they do.
Right.
And they took it to the Ombudsman, who found in their favour, and they criticised Cambridgeshire County Council and instructed them to improve things, and I think they even had to apologise to Janet and Roger. And since then, they've reorganized themselves, and they set up a team to deal with the footpath problems that they knew they had. And that is a wonderful contribution to the network. And I think we all owe quite a big debt to Janet and Roger in particular.
Absolutely.
Yes, I agree.
And the Cambridge
they
group
are, they
in
are
general.
Heroes. Yeah. And people walking those paths now may have no idea why the path is there. I love the history of some of these paths.
That would be interesting, yes.
Sometimes, I mean, I have a particular case in mind close to where I live, and there are two villages. They're about 2 miles apart, barely 2 miles apart. And there is no public footpath between the two. Now, it is perfectly evident that historically there must have been. I mean, families intermarried, we know, and they didn't walk about. Mm. That to get between the two villages otherwise is about 6 or 8 miles.
Yes.
Do you think there's a road?
It was a track, possibly. What happened is a big landowner with a stately home. And simply stopped it. Mm. And nobody had the oomph to contest it. And so the opportunity perhaps is lost.
Yes.
But I do feel, I mean, I'm almost as combative as the Mortons over this, that it is wrong for perhaps some people listening now to say, why should I bother? I don't go walking, and I know this is happening to a path in my area, but I'm not bothered. What about their grandchildren?
Absolutely.
I agree. And anyway, shouldn't most people go walking because it has so many health benefits, which I expect you'll touch on later?
Well, no, I expect you will. we'll play another little tune and then we'll come to the health aspects and also the legal aspects.
Right.
The BBC keep telling me that I must keep balance on this programme. I must give everybody a fair chance to express contrary views. I'm finding it very difficult today because I have two proponents of liberty to walk in the countryside along ancient and agreed pathways, Jenny Irwin and Alan Parks. And the trouble is, I agree with almost every word they say, and I'm finding it difficult to put up a contrary argument. And also, I was interested how you and your colleagues over the years have managed to turn Cambridgeshire County Council from a foot-dragging attitude towards public rights of way to now being fully up for defending them and helping people. That's quite an achievement.
They are very helpful. And if you send an email, if you encounter a problem, you can send them an email and they respond very quickly, or you can look on their website.
And when you think how busy they are with potholes and things like that, that they really have spotted that people want to walk.
But I think they realise the benefits, which we're going to talk about later.
And the law is on your side as well.
Very much so, yes.
But it can get very quarrelsome indeed. I mean, the railways at the moment, I know a few cases, but the railways are trying to close some footpaths that cross the line, which I think are older than the line. I mean, the railways only go back to the 1840s, and some of these footpaths are centuries old.
Well, they're historic, and they do need preserving.
Yes. And in the Anglia region, Network Rail are proposing to close 130 pedestrian crossings.
That's just the ones they've told you about.
Yeah.
I bet they've got a few more up the sleeve.
They have been contested and 15 proposals have been withdrawn, but there's still
15 victories, that's not bad.
And sometimes they're quite silly. Jill Tufnell, our secretary, she's the secretary of the Ramblers Cambridge Group, and she's Jenny's secretary of the Rambling Club, and she is another stalwart.
She's definitely a stalwart.
Yes. A long time ago, I was chairman of the Cambridge group of the Ramblers, and I was panning around for a secretary. We needed a secretary, and Jill stepped forward. I didn't have to banter or push. She stepped forward, and she's been doing it ever since. It's a wonderful woman.
A lot of people who use the paths don't know what bother goes into keeping paths open.
Yes.
So you've brought round Cambridgeshire County Council, who are now like-minded with you. What about landowners? That's a different kettle of fish or not?
Yes, it is slightly different, and some of the old views are still rattling around. But
you can, I mean, forgive me, Adam, for interrupting you, but you can be bloody minded. I know cases where, because there is a path across what is today a cornfield, ramblers will walk across the middle and crush the crop. Now, wouldn't it be nice for them to have a fight, if they like, about the path, but walk round the field just until it's harvested? I mean, why be so bloody-minded?
So sometimes they do, yes.
I think this is rare. I think you're... Yes. Are you reading the wrong newspapers?
Yes. Yes. Let's be confrontational. Yes, they are required to keep them open, just as the main roads are kept open so that vehicles can pass. The paths should be kept open so that walkers can pass. And the farmer, if he ploughs up a footpath, is bound to reinstate it within 14 days or something like that. If he does not do that, he can be told that he must do so by the local authority. If he still fails to do it, they will have it done and charge him for doing it. And that is has always been the case, that they've had to reinstate the paths.
Yeah.
But now legislation is on the county council side, so that they must do it. And in terms of spoilt crop, that's so marginal.
So abrasive.
I would like to butt in here and say, on our recent walks through the through the fields of corn, there's been a marvellous, usually a metre-wide path through the centre of the field.
Has there? Well, that's good.
Extensive,
news.
And it's a wonderful experience to walk through and see the crops growing for our benefit and flourishing. Of course, the ground is getting. Has been quite dry and cracked, but it gives you an insight into the problems that the farmers are facing with a lack of rain.
Oh, goodness me, yes.
And generally, the paths are good, and you can go straight across the field, and it's marvellous. You'd never think of doing it.
I've thought of something that we can disagree about. We'll have the travel news first,
okay,
and then I'll test out your good nature on another question. let's get on with rambling. Okay, I have this good-natured couple who have fought the good fight, along with many others, to save the footpaths of Cambridgeshire, Jenny Irwin and Alan Parks. I bet you don't agree with me on this one. I know one green road. I'm not sure if that's the legal term for it, but it's an ancient road with a ditch on either side, but with no surface other than the soil. And it's quite overgrown, but it's a delightful walk. It becomes a sort of tunnel in the summer.
Mm.
It's used by young, enthusiastic motorcyclists. And you see, you turned your nose up.
I wrinkled my nose.
Yes, well, a subtle difference between turning up and wrinkling. and I say jolly good luck to them. We fought to keep these paths open, not for nice people like us, but for the people to do what they like in. And if they want to ride noisy old motorbikes, well, we can put up with it occasionally. Alan, where do you stand on that?
I'm with the motorcyclists if they obey the law. Mm. I was walking along the Roman Road, with which we were all familiar once, and there were
Via Divana, I think it's called.
Yes, absolutely. There were a group of bikers there, and I thought, oh dear me, I hope they're not going to churn up the Roman Road, because the surface becomes delicate in the winter. So I plucked up all my courage and went to talk to them. They were super chaps, and they had a map, and they knew the bits that they were allowed to.
Bikers look so frightening, but they're nice guys, really.
Absolutely,
aren't they?
They are. Yes, yeah. I'm with the bikers.
Underneath the helmets, they're nice guys mostly.
But yes, Jenny, yes. You did. When I said motorcyclists on footpaths, you did do a bit of a wince.
I did wince, really. As the mother of sons, I like to encourage youngsters to get out into the open air, and it is nice if they can ride their bikes safely.
Motorbikes.
I think, yes, they get a thrill from the motorbikes.
Mm.
But, what was I going to say?
Well, it does wreck the peace for people like me. But
I know what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Cambridgeshire does have a lot of muddy areas, and if they're cycling up and down in the winter, it does make it,
makes it impossible
very
for
tricky
everybody
to pass. It's not so bad in the dry weather, but I was going to say in the wet weather,
and
Cambridgeshire
mothers with
can be tricky.
It becomes impossible.
It is tricky. So we do need to think of everybody, all the users, as you say.
Yeah.
But if people could think about the other person, or the other users.
Yeah, and some parts of the Roman Road are restricted in the wet weather, and the bikers of whom I've just spoken knew which bits they could ride on and which they did not.
Good for them.
Yeah.
On the health side of things, which I know you're keen to talk about, there's quite a lot of scientific evidence for merely looking at the distance and trees and landscape being very good for the state of mind, isn't that so? I mean, it's good for people.
I would say that it definitely wardens off loneliness and depression.
Mm.
And for some reason, when you're out amongst the nature, it's very uplifting. And just visually looking at the trees, I think the green trees, looking at all the different types of trees, trying to spot birds, it's very uplifting.
Do you know?
So that is a benefit for the health.
Just the nature and the countryside, the curative virtue of it, always make me want to tell the story of when my wife was in hospital years ago and she was quite ill. And she was in a little room with a wardrobe, and she couldn't see through the window But she asked me to prop the wardrobe door open because there was a mirror inside, and that way she could see the trees, and it made her feel better. It really impressed me on the value of the countryside.
Absolutely. And if your wife couldn't see the trees, she could at least see the clouds.
Yes.
Yes.
It's as clever as that.
Quite uplifting.
Yeah, it is. And in times such as now, when depression is a big problem, and obesity is a big problem.
What are you looking at me like that for?
it's important that people understand that walking for health actually works, and there is a movement called Walking for Health, isn't there, Jenny?
In fact, there are health walks based at Wandlebury.
And the heart people, what's it called? The big charity that
British Heart Foundation.
They encourage walks as well, don't they? Actually organise them.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, there's a whole list of health benefits which I'm not going to read out.
I'll touch on one or two,
but it's available from the Ramblers website, ramblers.org. If you have got access to a computer, just look at health benefits, and there's a whole list. But it says walking is the perfect exercise.
I thought swimming was. You used every muscle in the body. Uh-huh.
Possibly, but it's quite wet and it's not very good for the hair, is it?
Water is quite wet, I agree with you. Yeah.
Well, it just takes a bit of recovery time, I find. And
not in my case. It
doesn't agree with everybody's eyes. Apparently, if you just walk for 30 minutes on 5 days a week, you can really reduce your likelihood of having a stroke or heart attack, which is amazing.
But does that apply to town walking? You know,
I think you can walk anywhere, but I would advise...
It does, does it? Because I would have thought you were breathing in fumes if you'd walk.
Well,
in
if you could go up a side street, it would probably, or a park, use a park, would be better.
Yes.
But definitely wear the right shoes, some comfortable shoes. You don't want to just go in flip-flops and get a blister.
No. Well, that's right. I mean, though I do sometimes see people walking in the countryside who I would regard as being a bit overdressed.
I agree.
If you look at the clothes, I can't break you down, can I?
If you look at the clothes I'm wearing, I'm wearing breathable clothes, not pure cotton, because you can get very sweaty, and thin trousers. Don't wear your jeans. I mean, it's all right if you just pop out in your jeans, but if they get wet, they're so heavy and they make you feel cold.
Yeah.
So don't go up a mountain in jeans.
I bet you've got a bubble hat.
Would you like to see it?
Oh, that's not a bubble hat. That's just
just a lightweight acrylic hat available from various outdoor shops in Bridge Street. And of course, if you join the Ramblers, Cambridge Rambling Club, at a cost of only £4, you get a discount in the shops. So don't wear wool.
It only
costs so
£4 to join the Ramblers.
Only £4 to join my club, the Cambridge Rambling Club.
And that gives you access to
you can
all
go
the organised
any of the
walks. How many
with
walks
trips
a
away.
Week do you, the Cambridge Ramblers, how
Cambridge
often?
Rambling Club, we have 4 walks on a Wednesday of different lengths.
Really? How many people
Sunday?
Are involved in that?
We have 500 members.
I had no idea it was that
it's
big.
It is a big club. I'll take my hat off and swap it for something.
Just get you like Tommy Cooper and his hat. That's a little rain hat.
This is a sun hat, actually.
Is it? Oh,
which I've been using recently. And if it's very windy, you just tighten this under the chin with a bow. So all these
I bet you haven't got a sun hat with a bow under the chin.
It doesn't have a bow, but it does have straps underneath there.
How big are the Ramblers as distinct from the Cambridge Ramblers in this part of the world? In the county, let's say.
The Cambridge group has 450 members, and the whole area, which includes Peterborough, has about 800
Cambridge alone, if you add them together, you've got very nearly 1,000 people, and those are the people who walk in an organised way.
Yes.
But you could double that for people who do it in a disorganised way.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And this is an important point, Chris, that the footpath network that we have is a very valuable fixed asset, which we didn't even have to buy. But hundreds of trips a month are made into the countryside, and people spend about £6 billion a year on trips into the countryside, and that's very important.
I'm amazed by that figure.
Yes, that's
very
amazing.
Important to the economy, and so that helps the pubs and the hotels, and the local authority can pull off their what do they pull off the ground rent, not the ground rents, the business rates, and the central government pulls off the corporation tax, and that comes back to feed the local authorities. So it's very much in the local authorities' interest to value this asset that they've got and keep it maintained, because it's money well spent. And there are there is competition. What about health and welfare? What about the potholes we've mentioned? Yes, there are demands on resources, but here is a source of income.
I tell you what, I would almost join you two on walks if you could provide one service. Just occasionally, I want to know the history of the path I'm walking on. Now, this area has, among many other wonderful things, the Icknield Way, which it clips through Cambridgeshire, Hertfordshire, and into Suffolk. And some authorities reckon that's at least 4,000 years
absolutely
old.
Yes.
And I walk it occasionally, and I want somebody with me to talk about who might have used it 4,000 years ago, where they were going and what they were doing, that sort of thing.
I think that's a good point, and it's something we sometimes neglect in the Rambling Club.
Yes.
But I think there are certainly interesting books in the shops, but it needs a little bit of research. Perhaps before we go on the walk, we could do some research. I think
There are several books about the Icknield Way.
The Icknield Way as a concept has been around for a very long time. Since the 80s, it has been organised as a trail following not just the escarpments but the public rights of way, and that was instigated by an archaeologist who was a rambler, and he was highly regarded.
Who was that?
I'm trying to think of his name.
I can't remember his name. He wrote a book about it.
Yes.
Oh, what was his name? He was a lovely fellow, and he died about 12, 15 years ago.
Exactly the man. Now he was one of our members, and he was instrumental in
now his little book brings to life. A walk, and I wouldn't want somebody on the walk to keep butting in, but just pause at various points and give us a little lecture on who,
I think
what,
that's
where
a good
went.
Point. It we do good. Have a geologist who.
Geology is one of the most neglected things. I mean, this part of the world, the geology is fascinating.
It is
fascinating. We have geologists, we have botanists, we have people who are expert in other areas. And they all walk
together.
You're
almost getting me want to join you.
Well, I think you should.
I think you would join us.
But I'm too miserable.
The national president of the Ramblers now is one Stuart McConey, and you'll get on like a house on fire. Chris, he's a broadcaster.
Now,
he's a writer, and he's a journalist.
Now,
he's your man.
You've got 30 seconds to do a hard sell on how people get hold of the Cambridge Ramblers Club and the Cambridge Ramblers, and the Ramblers generally, nationally.
So the Cambridge Rambling Club, if you do have a computer, have a look at www.cambridgeramblingclub.com. Or you can call in at Radio Cambridgeshire for one of these leaflets.
On a weekday.
Yes.
And what, Alan?
Yes.
Hard sell.
Yes, they're easy to get hold of. And I'm afraid it is the digital age we are in, Chris. That is why we're here in this splendid studio. But do go online. And if you're not online, get your grandson to do it.
That's so true.
Yes, he will sort
well,
it for
thank
you.
Thank both of you. You've been delightful guests. And I never thought I'd say I'd join the Ramblers, but you've almost done the trick. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, it's been a pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
A passion for Cambridgeshire.